This is KJZZ. I'm John Huckenberry.
I'm Mark Brody.
And I'm Steve Goldstein. In cities around the country and here in Arizona, a sense of well-being is tied very closely to the value of our homes and the sense of how housing is doing locally. There is now a way to look at this in a visual data form using a new tool from the Demand Institute.
Starting with the assumption that the behavior of local housing markets coupled with income and employment data together can be powerful predictors of local and national economic conditions, they've produced a map. I mean, that just makes good sense, right? Well, what makes even more sense is to actually take a look at this data in the map format presented by the Demand Institute. Joining us now is Louise Keeley, Chief Research Officer for the Demand Institute, co-author of the report on economic conditions around the country. Louise, welcome.
Hi.
So you're calling this a tale of 2,000 cities, in a sense. Is that the number of cities that you looked at, or is it even more than that?
We looked at 2,200 cities and towns in the U.S. All of these towns are incorporated with populations of 15,000 or more in 2011. And we looked at a range of variables related to housing and other indicators of community well-being in each of them.
And housing stands out as a major indicator, but it's certainly not the only one. And you've divided all of these cities of 15,000 population and above into nine categories: affluent, metro, burbs, cosmopolitan suburbs, traditional suburbs. Go down the list, and if you can blurb me a characteristic that describes these nine categories.
Sure. So we looked at this data and we developed nine community profiles across the U.S. from the most successful communities to the most struggling. So starting with our affluent metroburbs, the most successful, these are the most affluent, wealthiest communities, both in terms of income as well as in terms of home prices. These tend to be small, very densely populated cities that are sometimes nearer to larger metropolitan areas. And in some ways, these places provide an ideal mix of urban living and suburban living, so many of the amenities of urban living, but without some of the challenges. The next two segments or profiles are suburban, our cosmopolitan suburbs, and our traditional suburbs. Cosmopolitan suburbs are also very affluent, very high rates of home ownership. And these are some of the fastest growing places in the U.S. Some of these places literally grew over 1,000% between 2000 and 2012, and they just have a very suburban feel. Traditional suburbs, also high rates of home ownership, relatively affluent, tend to be more stable in terms of the boom and the bust in home prices, and are more established suburban communities.
I'm actually playing with the map. It's actually quite fun. You can find your region, you can find the dense populations of affluent metro burbs next to traditional suburbs, the cosmopolitan fast-growing places that you describe. All right, what's a vacation retirement destination? That's the next category.
So these are places, they tend to be in the Sun Belt, they're warmer weather, and they're places where people go on vacation, as well as the kind of the cliche of people retiring to Florida. They're these types of places. These places saw big rises and big falls in prices during the housing boom and the housing crisis.
Now, smack in the middle are the historic skyline cities. I suspect that's where I am in New York, right?
Yep. So historic skyline cities, these are the most densely populated places in the U.S. They include places like New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, but also some smaller cities that still are very densely populated and have a very urban feel to them, places like Providence, Rhode Island, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that we highlight in the report. These are places that have lower income than our most successful community profiles, but still have a lot to offer to people who live there. They're relatively expensive, however. And some of our oldest cities are there, too. These are some of our older cities.
And smack in the middle is transitional cities. And right at the bottom, I'll just finish the list for you, are deflated bubble communities, challenged communities, and endangered communities. These are places that are really having some trouble. A few words about transitional cities. Did they avoid the recession?
Yeah, the transitional cities in some ways are the most interesting group of cities. It's 377 cities, 39 million people live there. And, when we look at the boom and the bust in prices, transitional cities actually had kind of the mildest rise and decline of many places. So, relative to some places in the country, they did avoid the destabilizing effects of the housing crisis.
So with all due sort of concern for our neighbors in endangered communities and challenged mm-hmm. communities and deflated mm-hmm. bubble communities, I suspect mm-hmm. the areas around Las Vegas would be places that would qualify as deflated bubble communities. Mm-hmm. What should we watch to gauge the general economic health of the nation? Or is it really a community-by-community picture at this point?
It's both. So I think the reason why we developed these profiles is so that one can get a quantified, clear sense of what the landscape is of communities across the country. But the reality is that every community has its own story. So if I look at endangered communities, these are places, these are the most struggling. These are places where population growth has been low or declining. Employment growth often is negative. Poverty rates are high. Incomes are low. So that's a general picture, but then the reasons why each community is in the situation it's in and what the possibilities are to bring it out and to bring it into a more successful course, it's going to vary community by community.
All right. The Louise Keeley, Chief Research Officer for the Demand Institute, co-author of this report called 2,000 Cities, actually a survey of more than 2,000 cities of population 15,000 or more. Louise, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's The Takeaways, John Hockenberry. We've been playing with the map a little bit around here, and it got some interesting things to say about the Valley. The Demand Institute lists four cities as transitional: Phoenix, Mesa, Tempe, and Glendale. Remember, these are older inland cities undergoing transition and have a higher reliance on government jobs to sustain the local economy.
Five Valley cities are considered cosmopolitan suburbs, which are fast-growing contemporary suburbs that offer distinctive services and wide-ranging amenities. Those cities are Gilbert, Goodyear, Avondale, Buckeye, and Queen Creek. Chandler and Peoria are listed as traditional suburbs, which the Demand Institute defines as solid middle-class communities that represent a cornerstone of American family life.
In an area known for both vacationers and retirees, only two cities get listed in that category, Scottsdale and Fountain Hills. The guess here is that one is the former and the other the latter.
And there's one more Valley city on the list. El Mirage is considered a deflated bubble city, which is defined as an ethnically diverse community hit hard by the real estate bubble and bust over the last decade.
A few other cities of note in Arizona: Flagstaff is listed as a vacation and retirement destination, as are Payson, Prescott, Bullhead City, Lake Havasu City, Yuma, and Oro Valley.
And the map lists Tucson as a transitional city. Now, if you enjoy maps as much as we do, and I frankly find that hard to believe, you can check this one out for yourself at kjzz.org. Just click on the show page.